Kia ora, ko Daniela Mawate Koksaho, no mai ki te whare, welcome to the house. This week, during Wednesday's question time, the Prime Minister was asked the same question by five different members of the National Party.
Does she stand by all her government's policies and actions?
To the Prime Minister, does she stand by all her government's policies and actions?
Does she stand by all her government's policies and actions?
Does she stand by all her government's policies and actions?
Does she stand by all her government's policies and actions?
To understand how that happened, we have to go back a few weeks to September 25th.
I've received a letter from Kieran McEnulty raising with me, as a matter of privilege, the use by the Leader of the Opposition of official television coverage of the House for political advertising without the permission of the members shown and publishing a false and misleading account of proceedings contrary to Part B, Appendix D of Standing Orders.
Standing orders are the rules for Parliament, and it's the Speaker's job to make sure that people follow those rules. The rules are revised towards the end of each three-year parliamentary term, and last time, the ban on using footage for satire or ridicule was lifted. This opened the door for the National Party to use footage of MPs in the debating chamber for edited videos on social media. Labour MP Kieran McEnulty complained, and the Speaker Trevor Mallard had to make a decision.
Mr McEnulty's letter has highlighted the existence of a range of videos posted by different parties that use footage of members for political advertising. I would be very surprised if those members had given permission, as the rules clearly require. While there has been some discussion around what constitutes a political advertisement, and it is clear to me that the videos that support one party or aim to reduce support for another party are the sorts of items covered by Appendix D of the Standing Orders. That view is further reinforced by the description of the video as an attack ad in the material Mr Bridges referred to me. I encourage all parties to consider the videos that they may have posted online. Those using official parliamentary TV footage that has been edited and featuring other members without their permission should be removed by 5 p.m. on Friday the 27th of September.
National argued the Speaker didn't have the authority to make them remove the videos, so this week the Speaker ruled again.
I have relatively few tools available outside referral to the Privileges Committee or naming a member for grossly disorderly conduct. I do not intend to exercise either of these options. I will shift my supplementary question allocation system instead under Standing Order 387. The Leader of the Opposition will have a maximum number of supplementary questions equal to his party's total number of supplementary questions each day divided by the number of primary questions it has each day. That means that he will have a maximum of 5 supplementary questions each day this week. I remind the House that supplementary questions are given at the discretion of the Speaker, and no member has an absolute right to ask them.
Supplementary questions are follow-ups to a primary question that MPs ask of ministers. The primary question is always published a few hours before question time begins at 2 p.m, but supplementaries remain secret. However, they're only allowed if the Speaker says so, and he can remove them outright if he likes. So National used a different tactic.
Hey, Mr. Speaker, my question is to the Prime Minister. Does she stand by all her government's policies and actions?
This is the standard question from Simon Bridges to the Prime Minister. It's useful in that the topic is hidden, so the Prime Minister has to guess what to prepare as an answer, but it also means the answer can be more general. Here's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern's response.
Whakalokalahi atu, Mr Speaker, happy Nauean Language Week. In answer to the question, yes, and I will continue to stand by them for all 5 of the National Party's Leader of the Opposition auditions today in this House.
While the Leader of the Opposition's follow-up questions have been reduced, there's no such restriction on other members of the National Party, so 4 other National MPs submitted the same primary question to ask the Prime Minister. The topics of the supplementary questions to the Prime Minister varied from each MP. First up is migration from Simon Bridges.
Why are more then three times the number of Kiwis leaving New Zealand under her government's policies than did in 2017.
Mr. Speaker, the member's obviously referring to the net migration figures which came out yesterday, which actually show the numbers are fairly stable. They've come out at 53,810. A year ago, they were at 49,197. I note that that's coming off a high watermark under the last government, in which, Mr. Speaker, I have to say there was not enough work done to ensure the infrastructure was able to maintain that kind of population growth.
A side effect of asking a general question is that the Prime Minister can add to their answer with whatever topic they might like.
Number three, the Honourable Paula Bennett.
Thank you. To the Prime Minister, does she stand by all her government's policies and actions?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, yes. In particular, the progress we are making against some long-term challenges facing New Zealand, including recruiting 1,800 new police officers to help crack down on gangs, banning semi-automatic weapons to help keep our communities safe, increasing funding to combat organised crime, trafficking drugs in the Pacific, more funding for police and customs, which has helped with the 2019 record meth seizures, more than 1.5 tonnes...
Deputy Leader of the Opposition, Paula Bennett's topic for follow-ups is on the legalisation of marijuana.
Is one of the reasons she is supporting legalising recreational marijuana because she wants to see the black market for marijuana eradicated?
Mr. Speaker, I reject the premise of that question.
Next one.
Question number five, the Honourable Nikki Kaye.
Mr. Speaker, question to the Prime Minister. Does she stand by all her government's policies and actions?
Mr. Speaker, welcome to contestant number three. Yes, the government is making progress on the long-term challenges facing New Zealand. And that includes helping to break the cycle of educational underachievement by providing lunches in schools to 20,000 children in 120 schools by the start of 2021. We are scrapping.
Topic three from National's Nikki Kaye, as the Prime Minister guest, is school lunches.
Can she confirm she received advice regarding the government's free lunch policy to use well-established providers such as Kids Can and Kickstart, and that she ignored that advice?
Mr. Speaker, actually, my recollection is in the conversations that were had with officials, we discussed the dual benefit of enabling schools to determine for themselves how they would roll out these programs. This is about autonomy and choice. Some schools may choose to use providers, some may choose to use their own community and provide it within kitchens if they have it. They may choose to work with local marae. It's about giving schools the choice around how they provide this.
National MP Chris Bishop takes the fourth question and focuses on transport.
Does she agree with the Honourable Phil Twyford that the 12 roading projects that have either been cancelled or delayed by her government because of re-evaluations caused by the government policy statement on transport are of, quote, very low economic value?
Mr. Speaker, if that's a reference to the east-west link in Auckland, which is the most expensive roading project per kilometre in the world, then yes.
And the last question from National's Scott Simpson.
Does she stand by her statement that the $100 million Green Investment Fund is, quote, a central plank in the government's plan to transition to a clean, green, carbon-neutral New Zealand, unquote? And if so, how much has been invested from the fund?
Oh, Mr. Speaker, that fund is running exactly as the timetable we set out when we established it. The member may not be aware that when you establish a government-owned Mr. Speaker, the member may not be aware, but when you establish a government-owned investment fund, there is some rigour required in establishing such a fund. The roadshow with the fund managers will be beginning next month. I know the member will be listening to that with interest.
Speaker Trevor Mallard said the way footage of Parliament can be used will be reviewed by the Standing Orders Committee. Phil Smith was at the public hearings on this topic.
Kia ora. The full review of standing orders hasn't started yet, but a series of early hearings have begun just looking at the rules around the use by political parties of the TV footage of Parliament. But the early submitters in person were not the parties concerned. They were represented in the room already on the committee hearing the evidence. The first submitters were instead the chair and the deputy chair of the Parliamentary Press Gallery, Sam Suchdeva from the newsroom and Joe Moyer from RNZ. They were taking the chance to talk about related rules, because the rules for TV footage are also the rules for still photos.
I think our wider concern is that the overall rules in Appendix D, which cover Parliament TV coverage and any footage or photos that the media take, is too restrictive.
And these journalists have been covering select committees for years and so know what works. So they brought props, specifically photos.
Things which would currently be either a breach of the standing orders or are likely to be. So thank you to Deputy Chair Joe for displaying these. This is a shot of the Prime Minister walking into the Eyes lobby for the abortion vote, and currently that's prohibited. Here's another example of what is not strictly a parliamentary proceeding. This was the Prime Minister speaking with a couple of National MPs while the votes were being tallied. And I think that's a very human moment, and the complaint we get from MPs often is that we don't show this side of politics and of Parliament.
I'd be concerned if it was my bald head that was showing too.
That is technically a breach of the orders as they are. Here's one from slightly earlier. I think the Speaker and some of you may remember this.
The photo is from the first day of the new Parliament, a picture of Labour and National MPs huddled in urgent negotiations when National threatened to withdraw their support for Trevor Mallard as Speaker unless Labour rewrote the agreement around select committees.
You did print that quite extensively, yes.
This is an exception.
And, you know, as I understand, that is not a parliamentary...
Not a retrospective exemption.
Yes, right. Yeah. No, nobody is taking a call here. I looked at the Parliament TV footage and it just had a wide shot. But this is clearly of public interest. It was very important. There was uncertainty over whether the government had the numbers to elect its preferred speaker, and yet this would technically fall afoul of those rules. And then just finally, a amusing example from overseas... Mr. Jacob Rees-Mogg.
This shot is the much-mocked image of the Conservative MP and Leader of the House recently lying back and pretending to sleep in a sign of boredom during a Brexit debate.
Now, that was shown, I believe, by the parliamentary feed in the UK, but I think that was a happy accident of where the cameras were located, and I don't think such a shot would be shown here in a similar circumstance, whereas, you know... people were very interested in this, and I think there is a public interest in being able to be shown things like this. So the wider point, and just finishing, is if a member of the public or a tourist can walk in off the street, go into the public gallery and see an MP doing it, why can't media show it? It seems like a no-brainer to me.
The immediate issue was resolved on Friday when the leader of the National Party relented and agreed to take down the videos that fall foul of the current rule. The committee will continue to hear submissions on that rule and look to adjust it in November before moving on to considering the wider rules of Parliament. You've been listening to The House. E te whakarongo koe ki te whare, he hutake poake nga teitahi puti āwhina, no mai I te Paramata. Mā te wā.